Okay, well, let's open up our Bibles at Luke chapter 1 again. And in particular, one verse, though also referencing another verse. And it's concentrating on the words of the angel to Mary in chapter 1, verse 32. When Gabriel said to Mary, "He will be great." He will be great. That's the words of the angel to Mary. And then Mary sings in verse 49, "For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." So let's think about our great Saviour and the great things that he has done for us this evening. The great Saviour and the great things he has done for us. In other words, the greatness of Jesus and the greatness of the salvation, so rich and so free. What's greatness? Well, let's contrast two things, celebrity versus greatness. We live in the age of celebrity. We have done now for quite a while. Celebrities seem to be everywhere. There's celebrity magazines, celebrity gossip, celebrity watch columns in the newspapers, celebrity TV shows, celebrity Big Brother, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here, celebrity MasterChef, everything celebrity. In fact, so much is about celebrity, and there are so many celebrities these days that they have to now speak about the A-list celebrities. They have to have a category of their own. What makes a celebrity? Well, a few things, but one of the main things that makes a celebrity is publicity. A celebrity has to have publicity. A person can be rich and clever or honourable and heroic, but without publicity, they'll never be a celebrity. On the other hand, a person can be stupid and immoral and ungodly, but they get the publicity and they become a celebrity. It's often a publicity that makes a celebrity. But being a celebrity can be really short-lived. When the publicity machine turns its cameras and microphones elsewhere, then one celebrity is over and a new one has just begun. And as I think it was Andy Warhol that said years ago now, that in the future, everybody will get their 15 minutes of fame. So celebrity is one thing, but not many celebrities can be described as truly great. They might be photogenic. They would definitely be made up. Rich, perhaps. Famous, of course. Fake body parts, probably. But great, not many. What is greatness? The angel said to Mary that Jesus will be great. And look who's publicizing this. The person who's saying this, the person who's publicizing this, is actually an angel. Look who's talking, verse 26. "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph." Mary probably got the fright of her life when that actually happened. But it was Gabriel, an angel of God, who publicized this. The person who said that Jesus will be great are not the social commentators or the entertainment reporters or reported on Twitter or YouTube. It's actually an angel of God. And that angel is none less than Gabriel. Look at verse 19 for what Gabriel says. Verse 19. The angel said, this was now to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. Verse 19, the angel said to Zechariah, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God." That is quite something. So Gabriel is the messenger angel. He stands in the presence of God. And so the source of the message that Mary receives about the greatness of Jesus comes from heaven's throne itself. "I stand in the presence of God. And I am telling you that your child will be great." Now, great is a term usually reserved for God alone. In the Old Testament, the psalmist would speak about how great the Lord is. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Or again, for the Lord is great, the great King above all gods. But here we are told that Jesus is great. The greatness of Jesus. All right. In what ways is he great? Well, in a few ways. Jesus is great, first of all, because of who he is. Because of who he is. Look at the titles that the angel gives him in verse 31. He's Jesus, the Savior. In verse 32, he's the Son of the Most High. In verse 35, he is the Son of God. This is who Jesus is. No ordinary human being, not even an angel, but the Son of God. God himself has said about Jesus, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And ever since then, the church has been confessing Jesus in the most highest of terms ever. The Apostle Thomas once said about Jesus, "You are my Lord and my God." Simon Peter once said about Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt for a while amongst us." This Lord Jesus Christ is none less than equal with God. In the third century, the church was trying to formulate its doctrine, and it had all kinds of battles about who Jesus was, his person, what his status was, what type of being he was. And some godly people came up with what's called the Nicene Creed. And this is the middle part of the Nicene Creed. "We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. He was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, but on the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end." Who is this? This is Jesus Christ, and he is great because of who he is. His greatness is also seen in what he said, in what Jesus said. The teaching of Jesus is masterful. He had people's minds whizzing like a lit Catherine wheel as they listened to his teaching. His Sermon on the Mount is stunning, and his parables have been called sticks of idea dynamite that kind of explode inside you in a good way, if you can get that kind of thing. But the teaching of Jesus is absolutely wonderful. And the teaching of Jesus is contained for us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's seen also in the epistles, but it's also seen throughout the whole of the Old Testament. Indeed, in saying that this is the Word of God, it's the Word of Jesus. And the words of Jesus have come down to us through the centuries. And we are aware because we study the Word of God. So we're aware of many of his sayings. But it is really quite pleasing to think about how many of the words Jesus said and invented, how many words Jesus came up with, that are still repeated today by people outside of the church, by unbelievers. They probably don't even realize where some of those words come from. But I've got a list here of some of the words that Jesus came up with that now unbelievers use. Unbelievers speak about a baptism of fire. Jesus said that first. He spoke of the blind leading the blind. He spoke of casting your pearls before swine. He spoke of counting the cost in a den of thieves. It's words that you hear today. He spoke about things falling on stony ground, of going the extra mile. He spoke of a good Samaritan. We hear the kiss of Judas. He spoke about your left hand mustn't know what your right hand is doing. He spoke about a millstone around your neck. He spoke of moving mountains. These words are used today by many unbelievers. Jesus invented them. He came up with these words. He spoke about keeping on the straight and narrow. He spoke about the return of the prodigal, the salt of the earth, turning the other cheek, until kingdom come and a wolf in sheep's clothing. And others as well. And it's Jesus that came up with these words. And they have come down hundreds and hundreds of years and are still being used today. There's a greatness about his teaching. And so great is his teaching that we can actually build the whole of our lives on what he has said. Now that's a really risky thing to do. What do you build your life on? We're all building our life on something or around something or on someone. But Jesus said, if you build your life on anything else apart from me and my words, that is sinking sand. But to build our life on him is solid rock. His words are great. His person is great. On one occasion, some temple guards were sent by the authorities to arrest Jesus, and they couldn't do it. So they came back to the authorities and they said, we haven't brought him in because no one ever spoke the way that this man does. The words of Jesus are great. He's also great, thirdly, in what he did. Mary said here in verse 49, for the mighty one has done great things for me. The great one has done great things. And what great things he has done? Well, again, you read the Gospels, you'll see his miracles. Now, miracles are works that are more than human and that would not ordinarily happen without the intervention of God. And Jesus did 1,000 miles of miracles. He opened the eyes of the blind. He unstopped deaf ears. He made cripples run and the lame leap. He made the dumb speak. He raised the dead to life again. He replaced someone's ear back on the side of their head. He produced food for 5,000 people. He turned water into wine. He walked on water. These are miracles. They're great, stunning works. And Jesus did them. Jesus once said to the crowd, I've shown you many great miracles from the Father. So he calls his miracles great, which has almost seemed like a redundancy of language, wouldn't it, really? Because, of course, a miracle's got to be great. But Jesus said, I've shown you many great miracles. He's done miracles, and he's done miracles in our lives, too, in many ways. His death upon the cross, that also was great. It produced so great a salvation that if we ignore, we will never escape the judgment of God. Oh yes, Jesus died in an ordinary way. He died in a way that a common criminal would die. But his death was not ordinary. For by his death, he reconciled people to God. By his death, he turns aside God's wrath. And by his death, he purchases redemption for us. These are great things that no one else can ever do. He was a priest who offered a sacrifice on our behalf, and his sacrifice was his own body and blood for us. He is great, and he's done great things. And his resurrection, rising from the dead on the third day, having died and been buried in a stone-cold tomb, he comes back to life again. And he breaks the power of death. He defeats the enemy of death. And bodily and physically, he was seen, he was heard, he was touched by people. And he said, I've got power to lay down my life, and I've got power to take it up again. He's great in his resurrection. He's great in his ascension. 40 days after his resurrection, he eventually left this earth, not just in spirit, but physically, as he trashed the laws of gravity, he ascended on high. Now he sits up there, reigning forever, ruling the universe on your behalf, on behalf of the church. And now he is seated at the Father's side. Who else has done such great things? No celebrity, but the great Lord Jesus Christ. He's great in all these ways. What's more, fourthly, he's great in what he will yet do. He's going to do something absolutely amazing in the future. None of us knows when that will be, but one day he will return. We sung it in our first song. One day in power he will come again, bursting through the skies, and every eye will see him. He's coming back physically, publicly. No one will miss the event. And then when he returns, he will gather the whole world before him. All those who have ever lived, the dead will rise. The sea will give up the dead that's within it. And everyone will stand before the judgment seat of God. And Jesus will then divide the whole world in between the righteous and the wicked. And he is the judge. God has set a day in the which he will judge the world by the man that he has appointed. He has proved this to everyone by raising him from the dead. That's a great thing to be able to do, to judge the world. None of us could ever do that. Celebrities could never do that. But the great Son of God can and will. So Jesus is great. He's great in who he is. He's great in what he said. He's great in what he did. And he is great in what he will yet do. So he cannot be ignored. It's impossible to ignore the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody has written this, that there is an amazing preoccupation with Jesus. No other human being in history has attracted such a combination of attention, devotion, criticism, adoration, and opposition. He's attracted it all. Every recorded word that Jesus spoke has been studied and sifted and analyzed and scrutinized by generations of theologians, philosophers, and others. You can't ignore the words of Jesus. Every one of his recorded actions has attracted the same intense interest. And today, 20 centuries after his death, there is never a single moment in which less than several million people are reading what he said and did and trying to apply the significance of his words and actions to their lives. Jesus will not go away. He will be great, and he has done great things. Truly, the angel's words were right. History has proved that. But it didn't need history to prove that. Gabriel said it, who stands in the very presence of God. And we cannot ignore him. We can turn the celebrities off. They're here, they're gone. But Jesus is forever. So we worship him. We follow him. We give our lives to him. We commit to him. And we worship him, saying, he is our Lord and our God. And above all, maybe not above all, but something very powerful to me as I've thought about this is the fact that we can have confidence in Jesus. It's great to have confidence in a person, to ask them to do something, to know they're going to do it to the best of their ability. It's wonderful to be able to trust people. But even the best of people let us down. But Jesus will never let us down. We can have confidence in him always. For the whole of our life, we can have confidence in him. Whether you're rejoicing this evening or whether you're really sad tonight, you can have confidence in Jesus. Whether something's really worrying you, getting you down, something you're not sure of, you can have confidence in Jesus. He never changes. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Now, this creed was written a decade ago. We have confidence in Jesus, who healed the sick, the blind, and the paralyzed, and even raised the dead. He cast out evil powers and confronted corrupt leaders. He cleansed the temple. He favored the poor. He turned water into wine. He walked on water. He calmed storms. He died for the sins of the world. He rose from the dead. He ascended to the Father. He sent the Holy Spirit. He is coming back. We have confidence in Jesus. We have confidence in Jesus, who taught in word and example, sign and wonder. He preached parables of the kingdom of God on hillsides, from boats, in the temple, in homes, at banquets and at parties, along the road and beaches, in towns, by day, by night. He taught the way of love for God and neighbor, for stranger and enemy, for outcast and alien. We can have confidence in Jesus. We can have confidence in Jesus, who called disciples. He led them. He gave them new names and a new purpose. He sent them out to preach good news. He washed their feet as a servant. He walked with them. He ate with them. He called them my friends. He rebuked them. He encouraged them. He promised to leave them and yet to return to them. And he promised to be with them always. He taught them to pray. He rose early to pray himself. He stole away to desolate places to pray. He fasted. He faced agonizing temptations. He wept in a garden and he prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done." He rejoiced. He sang. He feasted. He wept. We can have confidence in Jesus. We can have confidence in Jesus, so we trust him for our salvation. We trust him for the very forgiveness of our sins and peace with God. We follow him. We learn his ways. We seek to obey his teaching and live by his example. We walk with him. We walk in him. We abide in him as a branch in a vine. We've not seen him, but we love him. His words are to us words of life eternal, and to know him is to know the true and living God. We do not see him now, but we have confidence in Jesus. And the angel said, "He will be great." And Mary said, "He will do great things." And the greatness of Jesus and his great works endure to this day. So tonight, let me commend my Savior to you. Amen.